Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
Here, eat this. I don't have time for your girl interrupted today.
I found your food diary. You're not eating. And those protein bars, they're props. You're hiding them.
It's not true. You're making it up.
I haven't lost weight in 3 days. I run twice as much and still nothing.
Stop it.
I can't eat. My body makes me sick. It's rebelling against me just like everyone else.
Give that back.
I bet Spike would love to read this.
Manny, no! I'm dating Peter.
Oh,
yes.
Hey, now.
You can smell that one.
Ew, yeah. You have barf breath, Alan. Anyways, hey, everybody. Welcome back to yet another episode of Narbs and Brooms.
Oh, cool way to say it.
You like that, eh? Sounds cool. Really cool. I'm Courtney. I'm going to be hosting this episode, and we have a special group of people joining us today. Just kidding. It's the same people that were here last week. Surprise! So before we get too far into this thing, let's introduce everybody who's here. I think we should start in Toronto.
Alan, I'm in Toronto. Hi, everyone.
Alan.
It's me. That's all I have to say. we already did the weather report and the sports report in the last episode. I don't know what to report on this time around.
It's true. There's no new news since.
Did you know that 2.5 weeks ago, Doug Ford swallowed a bee? Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. Crazy madness. So crazy. Let's head down the road to Oakville. Who's there?
Hey guys, back again, Folly T, and I do have a piece of news. The other day, I was driving on the QEW, and I got stuck behind a truck that flipped over. It was full of live chickens.
Yes,
there was live chickens all over the ground.
What?
Yeah.
Oh. Yep. And the farmer in me said, "Give me a pair of gloves, give me a bucket of chicken, and I'll go pick them up for you."
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say, "Give me a pair of gloves and a condom."
Well, I didn't think about that.
Me neither.
Why would he say that?
I don't know. Farmers are weird.
Oh, they are.
Right?
They are.
Always humping their animals. Farmers. Mm-hmm. Typical right? Farmer. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's a lonely occupation.
Uh-huh.
My dad was a volunteer firefighter growing up, and he went to a big truck fire on the 401, and there was a truck carrying crunchy bars, and they couldn't obviously spare them. So we got like bags and bags of crunchy bars for free, and it was the best thing ever.
Oh. The best s'mores you've ever had, truck fire s'mores.
Oh, I hate s'mores. I just ate the crunchy bars. Some of them were a little burnt, but it was fine. They were delicious. Anyways.
Hey, damage control time, Courtney. Come on, control yourself.
Sorry. Don't eat crunchy bars. Okay, live chickens. Cool. And I guess we'll head on over to the East coast where
the ferry.
Yeah, the 8-hour ferry.
Well, it depends on which one you take.
Oh, what's this like the shortest ride?
Port of Basque from Galace Bay, North Sydney to Port of Basque, Newfoundland, which is very far from me.
Where is I what's that, 7.5 hours?
Yeah.
That one, I think that one is like 5 or 6 maybe. And the other one coming into Argentia, which is much closer to me, would be, oh geez, like 15 hours or something ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's like I live on the ocean now.
Argentia.
Yeah, I'm Ted. Hello. We did the weather last week. Talked about the bee thing. It was big. This week, not much going on.
It's a slow news week.
Weather, same. And traffic report, same. Back to you, Courtney.
Okay, well then. Let's get started on this one. So we're reviewing Our Lips Are Sealed, Pacte de. Mm-hmm. And way. So this one, obviously, is the, finale to Our Lips Are Sealed, Part 1. And we're going to continue this eating disorder plot. Are we set to jump in? I didn't miss anything, did I?
I don't think so. I mean, we talked, go back and listen to our thoughts on Part 1. We talk about where the song comes from. We talk about, and we're going to probably talk about again, the things that are dumb about this. So, we had a lot to say back in the day.
Right. Sometimes when we talk.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is, Mr. Dan Hill, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Put your hands together.
Yes, in our last episode, Spike and Snake got back together because the power of Dan Hill's song from 1977. Amazing. Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Just get disgusting.
Yeah.
Just disgusting.
And Peter's back, guys.
And by the way, let's figure out, let's play a game. How long into this episode where Snake realizes, you know, why did I come back here?
Yeah, probably pretty soon, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and that's a great segue into the opening scene of this bad boy. We see Mr. Handyman himself under the sink trying to fucking fix it. And Kel surprise, he doesn't, and water starts dripping on his head, and he yells, "Fuck me!"
Uh-huh.
But that...
Now, are we led to believe this was the next day now? Because he was saying, like, the it's been leaking, so did he fix it the next day?
Who knows?
Like, I think more time has passed, but they use the fact that he's fixing this leak, which he wouldn't have let leak because he was complaining about how much money it was going to burn.
Right.
I don't know. See, I get confused with the timelines now in these shows.
You pay a water tax up there in Ontario?
Water tax?
Like how much you use water. Is that a thing?
Yep.
Yeah, I pay my water bill is like $200 a month.
Oh, okay. But you wouldn't be for usage, like how much you use.
Yeah, based on how much I use.
Yeah, like it goes up in the summer because we use like sprinklers and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. No,
what, do you guys just bucket from the ocean?
Yeah, that's right. Basically, I got 2 buckets on Linda's sides and she like waddles up the hill and she's like, oh, good girl. Daddy needs a bath.
Yeah, unless you're on a well or something. If you're on city water, then you got to pay for it.
I mean, we get taxed on it, but like you got to pay for it, but you don't get paid per usage. Like if you use a lot, you have to pay more.
You got some all-inclusive water shit going on?
Oh, baby.
It's like a data plan. All-inclusive water.
Yeah, that's right. We got Rogers water.
Yeah.
So it stopped working for 2 days?
Yeah, we didn't have any water.
Yeah.
And you died.
Back to the ocean, Linda. Go get the buckets. Yep.
So, yeah, the timelines don't make a lot of sense. Snake can't even fix the fucking sink. He actually doesn't yell, "Fuck me." That just would have been way better. Instead, he yells, "Fruit salad."
Uh-huh.
Fuck.
Wah, wah.
Just don't have them say words, right? Like,
yeah.
Don't if they can't swear, don't have them fake swear with not swear words.
No.
No.
Like, mm-hmm. Degrassi TNG hasn't earned the right to drop the F-bomb yet.
Oh, yeah. They dropped the F-bomb. It was fruit salad.
I mean, I remember distinctly when back in School's Out, when Snake was like, you spent the whole summer fruiting Tessa Campanelli.
Fruit salad.
Yeah, yeah. Getting up in her fruit salad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You would never see me driving that piece of fruit salad.
Right? I think he saw Caitlin as the cantaloupe. Like, everybody hates the cantaloupe and fruit salad.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Like, the thing you eat last. And Tessa was the pineapple?
Maybe the watermelon.
Watermelon?
The honeydew.
Oh, honeydew's garbage.
Nah, you just probably, yeah, come on, no. Honeydew is where it's at. It's the money melon.
I think pineapple's the best fruit in fruit salad. And all of you listeners, please chime in.
Mm.
This really important debate. Anyways, so yes, Snake sucks at fixing shit. And we see that Spike is brushing Emma's hair. And Emma is naturally whining about life in general. When did everything get so complicated? And so Spike calls her out and calls her Serious McMopey.
Uh-huh. Stop talking, everyone, on this show.
Right?
It should just be a silent episode.
Uh-huh. Or just put in the beeps.
Yes, yes. Make it sound way cooler. She's actually calling her like a little bitch.
Yep.
Not being such a bitchy McBitch bitch. Anyways.
Yeah, better.
It would have. So Emma's daydreaming and not really paying attention to what Spike's saying. And Spike kind of calls her out on it. Emma lies and said she's worrying about exams when really she's thinking about Pita. Who texts her and asks her to meet him somewhere.
Peter, who didn't exist in part one.
Right?
Like,
nope.
All of a sudden...
What the fuck?
Like, all of a sudden, Emma's secret boyfriend is a focal point of her life and her stress. In the second part of a two-part episode, though, that being said, I'm looking at the writing credits... And part one was written by Kate Miles Melville and Sean Raycraft, while part two was written by James Hurst, Avra Fine, and Alexandra Zerani, and directed by Ron Oliver. They had two completely different fucking teams.
Oh, wow.
That's
for
weird,
two parts man. Of a two-parter episode. Like, what?
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. But, so no wonder we're like just... It's, yeah, it's very strange.
It is, and that just reminded me I didn't do all that boring director shit at the beginning, but...
It's all good.
Thanks for covering for me.
Yeah.
So, yes, Peter has appeared. He's asking Emma to meet him in the forest, I think. She shows up, and he has made her a picnic. Mm-hmm. And what else would you make your teenage girlfriend but potato salad?
Well, and also... Mm. Potato salad, I believe one of the items is chicken. Emma's a vegan. Like,
I guess not.
He's like, I found this in the middle of the QEW, so I figured I'd bring it along.
Maybe it was tofurkey or whatever that shit's called.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's true. I didn't even remember that part. In any case, she obviously wants to keep her lips sealed.
Part two.
Or do so instead
of
avoid having to eat the food, she throws it off the picnic table and starts humping him.
Such a waste of food. Is that what was the comment that you were talking about on the Grassypedia?
Yes.
Someone noted that they wasted food on Emma or something like that. Yeah. Oh, there we go. What a waste of food in the beginning. Stupid Emma. And I thought the same thing. Like, that was perfectly good food all over
That's
the fucking
good
dirt.
Dinner. That's yeah. a perfect picnic.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you buy it at Sobeys at the fucking meat counter for $5, right? Like,
yes.
That fucking... One of your free... the chickens that fell out on the QEW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck.
Send her to Sobeys? Cook her up? and add some fucking potato salad. Stupid meal.
A potluck is not a potluck unless there's some potato salad there.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you thought that maybe this time he would have brought, like, Greek food, right?
Nah, anyways. It's the Greek food. Stay away from it.
By the way, I have to note this because I'm reading the Wiki page for this episode. Summary of the episode. Emma's dieting is transformed into a full-on eating disorder. She was fucking barfing in the last episode. It wasn't a diet. Like, what?
I thought the same.
Anyway, sorry.
Maybe you have to barf a certain amount of times.
Yeah, how many times do you have to make yourself puke before it turns from a diet into an eating disorder? Anyone?
Yeah, it's like how many those, people like, you have to kill before you're not just a killer, you're a serial killer.
Yeah.
Or how many coffees do you have to buy before you get a free coffee?
Exactly, it's a sticker thing.
Yeah, you like punch the card, Manny has a barf card, and she's like, did you do it? Good.
Eating disorder, ding.
Yes. Emma throws the food off and starts making out to avoid the problem. That's a smart coping mechanism. Peter's all for it. Opening orgasm credits. And we are at Degrassi. And everybody's favorite, Liberty, is, of course, about to do a presentation on frogs.
They're like in grade 11.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so Mr. Ellis is the teacher. And I don't know. Has he been in the show before?
I don't think so.
Not that I've seen.
Yeah. Me neither. I think he's pretty cool. So Liberty gets up and starts talking about the female anatomy of a frog or something.
You ever seen a frog pussy?
But then she starts talking about a gallbladder.
Oh, did she? I didn't.
Yeah,
I
tuned the first
her
thing
out.
She said. Dummy.
What an idiot. In any case, as she's giving her psychotically boring presentation, we see Manny, and she's questioning Emma about why she's been so weird lately.
Which is funny, because Manny's been around Emma the whole time. They fucking sleep in the same room, and they've been puking together. Right? Like, she knows Emma's puking, and she's like, what's wrong?
And trying to make her puke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a little weird to me as well. In any case, Emma is obviously annoyed with all the questions, and she calls her Needy McNeederson.
Fuck.
So there's like a nickname thing happening.
Ted turns down the volume on the television, going, nope. Need to hear any of this.
Like, honestly, fuck you, James Hurst. Fuck you.
Come on, yeah. Dude.
Do fuck better.
Nicknames. Be better.
Shitty, righty, righty, fucky, jerky.
Now we're doing it.
Yeah.
Righty McShitterson. Obviously, Emma's annoyed. She deflects, as she always does. Sorry, I have a life. I have problems you wouldn't understand. Blah, blah, blah.
To her friend that is estranged from her family and living in her basement. Yeah. Like,
to
fucking
boyfriend just left to another part of the country.
Fucking bitch. Yeah. Like, seriously.
To a friend who's had actual real problems.
Who's had an abortion.
To a friend who, you know, some guy got her drunk and recorded her tits, and now, oh, surprise, I'm dating him.
Yep.
You wouldn't understand.
Yep.
So Manny calls Emma out for eating protein bars, questioning whether or not they're safe. Blah, blah, blah. Mr. Ellis, the teacher, calls them out for talking, saying, I hope you're talking about a lot of, I don't know, something about frogs.
Frog vaginas. I hope that this conversation is about that.
You better be talking about that frog, pussy. That's what he says. That's what it was.
Uh-huh. He sounds so, like he said it with a comma in there. Like, you better be talking about that frog, comma, pussy. Oh. Like, he's calling him pussy.
What, are you calling me a pussy? No. Frog pussy. Sorry.
No. Shit, no.
Yeah.
We're taken to Alex and Paige. And what's their name? Plex?
Palex. Palex.
Palex.
Yeah.
Gross. Yes.
So they are hanging out in the hall, talking shit about Heather Sinclair. And I had to like rewind this a couple times. Something about belly shorts being out of style. I have no idea what belly shorts are. I don't even know if that's what they actually said. In any case, Heather Sinclair getting trashed. Just then, so Hazel walks up, and her and Paige are talking about waiting to hear from the universities they apply to. Alex, of course, makes fun of them for trying to better themselves. And Hazel's annoyed, so she leaves. And Paige warns Alex that she needs to be nicer to Hazel.
Great. I like how they're waiting for their fucking university acceptance. Meanwhile, Craig got a full scholarship and said,
oh, yeah.
Got to Vancouver. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that stupid bullshit. We're back on Manny, and she's hanging some posters. Because every Degrassi character, I think, has hung at least one poster.
That's what you do.
Just what you do in Degrassi.
Yeah.
And she's just complaining about how busy she is planning the end of the year extravaganza. Which is, I think, is a really stupid title for whatever she's planning.
I feel like the writers didn't know what would happen at the end of the year, so they just gave it the most generic title.
Like, what did you do at the end of the year? I don't know. I dropped out.
They're like, is it going to be a dance? We're not sure yet. We haven't written that far. Well, maybe it's a fair. Maybe it's an outing. Let's just call it extravaganza for now. That'll cover all our bases.
Maybe it's a happening.
Yeah.
Like the 60s. Jamboree. Like in the 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
At the sock hop.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Manny asks Emma about the environmental club, blah, blah, blah. But Emma has lost interest in saving animals and forests. She's interested in different stuff, like jogging.
Sure.
Manny asks.
I believe it's pronounced yogging.
Yogging. Emma pretty much brushes her off. And then good old Petey Pete shows up. And he introduces to them a kid that he's tutoring. And so Manny, obviously still pissed off, calls him out and asks him if he's teaching the kid how to get a girls drunk and film them with their tops off.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. So Manny,
I love that she's not letting it go. At least I love that they're sticking to that this whole season.
100%. She shouldn't let it go. So Manny calls him scum and leaves and demands that Emma follows her. So next up, everybody's favorite, yearbook planning. Mm. Where all the biggest fucking dorks get together.
And they're like, stupid books. Wasn't there a teacher who used to be really good at helping with yearbooks back in the day? A legendary teacher. What was his name? Mr. Colby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got some great ideas about collages.
Uh-huh.
And massages.
Yeah.
And fine silk fabrics.
Relax. Relax.
Yep.
So we have, of course, fucking Hazel is chatting with Toby about the yearbook, and I think she's trying to put just pictures of her and Paige everywhere. Alex comes in to try and make peace with Hazel. Hazel's obviously reluctant. I think Alex suggests they like get drunk and cause trouble or something.
Sure.
And then fucking Toby chimes in like an idiot and like suggests he can make fake IDs and take them on a pub crawl.
Yeah.
He's embracing his weirdo. I love it.
Yeah.
he's like the Alex from the original Degrassi. Like, he's not on very much, but when he's on, he steals the fucking scenes. Like, he looks so creepy. He raises the eyebrows.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. I loved it.
it was weird, but whatever. So Hazel agrees. And they're going to go shopping instead of getting drunk and causing trouble. Obviously, Alex isn't a fan of shopping, but they agree, all in the name of Paige. So we head to the mall, and they are indeed shopping at Garage, which is a little bit after my time, I think. But it's like a kind of trashy girls' clothing store.
I would say, yeah, trashy teen girl store.
Like Le Chateau sort of stitches.
With a little, like drunk Le Chateau.
Drunk Le Chateau.
Did you skip over a scene where they're in the gym?
Oh, did I?
Yeah, I think you did.
Oh, sorry.
It really doesn't matter. I don't know. It's just she was in frumpy clothes. Emma was. Manny comes in.
Yeah, Darcy comes over. And...
Oh my God, how did I forget that scene? That was my favorite. Sorry about that. Yeah, so Emma's in huge baggy clothes all of a sudden, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal's clothes.
Did you meet Shaquille O'Neal, but did you have to keep his clothes or something?
Hey, Emma, here's my clothes. Here you go. You enjoy
yourself. That's Elvis, not Shaquille
O'Neal. No, it's me, Shaq. It's big Shaq. Did you ever go to Foot Locker? My shoe was there. Big shoe, 17, size 17. Big old shoe.
Yeah, he's got a deep voice.
Okay, see you, Shaq.
Okay, see you later, buddy.
That sounds just like him.
This scene, that's really annoying. I left that out. Because, yeah, all of a sudden, Emma is now wearing baggy clothes. Like, she was wearing her normal clothes all last episode. And I wonder, again, if this is because they had completely different writers and directors for each episode.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like suddenly they realized one of the like telltale signs of an eating disorder is when you wear baggy clothes. Well, but you don't get the eating disorder. You don't get the eating disorder and then wear baggy clothes. You are wearing baggy clothes because you don't like your body. And then, you know.
Yeah, but sometimes I think, far be it from me, but I think kids who suffer from it will start to wear the baggy clothes because you don't notice them being so skinny then.
Oh, maybe.
It hides like when you're pregnant. You've lost so much weight.
Pregnancies, yeah.
And again, it's just they just feel fat. So like people who feel out of shape don't wear tight clothing. So if they feel fat in their mind, they won't wear tight clothing. Like I like that the show is showing some of these things. Like these are some of the things we'll talk about in health class.
Absolutely.
It's just so fast. Like all this stuff is happening so quickly.
But that's what I mean. Like I guess it sounds a little silly, but she should have, it should have been more of a progression, right? Like she went from wearing like tight clothes, jogging in bras and stuff. And now like that doesn't work. You can't jog, in your tight clothes and then suddenly start wearing baggy clothes. That's not how it works. In any case, whatever. And so she gets called fat, right? In the gym or tubby or something. Darcy says something about fat and she blows up.
I didn't even think they were the same age, but maybe I was wrong. I thought they were in two different grades, but maybe not.
Yeah. So she blows up and has one of her temper tantrums. And then we went to the mall. So now we're back in garage. And Hazel and Alex are sort of trying to get along. But then Hazel throws the first punch and she asks if Alex can even afford the clothes that they're looking at.
She's not ready for the big leagues.
Yeah, fucking garage.
Talks like that.
Where was she shopping before? Byway?
Yeah. Joe Fresh?
Joe Fresh.
Hey, Joe Fresh is good.
Absolutely. Anyways. I bought a Hawaiian shirt there the other day, and it looks like the G.I. Joe Chuckles from the 80s. I don't know. He was an undercover Hawaiian cop, if you remember the G.I. Joes from the 80s. Nobody on this show does, but somebody out there might. Anyways, it's the same color shirt. It's like a light blue.
Well, let us know, listeners. Tell us if you have the same shirt.
And also, do you remember Chuckles from the G.I. Joe?
I don't.
Right in.
So after Hazel throws the first insult, Alex obviously retorts, basically calling her fat, asking if these clothes fit her body's shape or something. And the fighting continues. Hazel finally accuses Alex of turning Paige into a lesbian. I think this is her Susie moment, right? She's not a lesbian. She's my friend.
Why does Hazel have to be stupid?
Yeah, like turned her gay? Like, come on.
Yeah, that's... She was straight till she met you.
Damn.
Paige was all about the dick before she met you. Come on.
Yeah. She was deep dicking until she met you.
Deep dick.
So I guess Alex responds by implying that Hazel is jealous and she actually just wants to make out with Paige. And they get in a big fight and throw clothes at each other. And security has to step in. And Paige takes off because she's obviously annoyed. And so next we're back with Emma. And of course, her and Peter are out for a jog. like most teenage couples do.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking jog together. So Emma is taunting Peter for being slow, and he catches up, says some cute shit, tries to hug her, and she pushes him away. I was kind of confused about this scene. Like, she pushes him away saying, no, not now. And then she kind of freaks out saying that she's stressed out about them and Manny and keeping this from Manny.
In my mind, she had puke breath and didn't want him to make out with her.
Okay. Yeah. See, I didn't even think of that. I don't, it was just odd to me.
Or maybe she realized how creepy Peter is and said, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this.
No, I don't think so.
No, oh, yeah, he's a piece of shit. I forgot.
No,
but I love silly, him. Silly. I'm going to change him.
Like, I thought she was slowing down because she was dizzy and going to pass out again. And then it just kind of flips to, I'm stressed out and, you know, Manny doesn't know and blah, 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 blah. Peter is so upset. He doesn't understand why Manny is still so mad at him.
I know, it's hilarious.
Right?
Ugh. And, get over it, would you?
And again, like, there's a part of me that's like, okay, Peter's a piece of shit, so I don't necessarily mind that that's how he thinks.
Yeah,
but I, the part that bothers me is that I think the writers are also like, get over it, Manny. Like,
yeah. You're freaking hysterical.
Save the drama for your mom. Yeah. And just making, so, of course, Emma doesn't defend her or be like, well, she has really good reason to not get over it. She instead says that Manny isn't good with forgiveness because she's the 5-time winner of the Golden Grudge.
Who talks like that?
Nobody talks like that.
You've been hanging out with Paige way too much.
Ugh. Do you remember in the original Degrassi where they always talked about how they used to run the scripts by the kids to make sure it made sense?
Mm-hmm.
I think they've thrown that right out the window. They don't do this anymore. There's no way. There's no way these kids agree with, like, yep, this is how we talk, Mr. Needy McNeederson.
Just say the fucking words. Shut up, right? And say the words.
No, they 100% don't consult. Maybe they just consult Kevin Smith now. So things escalate. Emma starts freaking out again, yelling at Peter, saying she has all these problems, blah, blah, blah. And then she storms off. Peter looks confused. So obviously, they're trying to develop a pattern of, you know, outbursts and irrational behavior. Yeah. So Emma returns home and Manny's there waiting with a sandwich. And she demands that Emma eat it. And obviously, Emma wouldn't. Manny has found Emma's food diary and starts reciting it to her and threatens to go show Spike. So to get Manny to stop, Emma blurts out that she's been dating Peter. And that's why she's not eating or sleeping, because she's worried about Manny. So she's blaming Manny, basically, for everything that's wrong with her.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Obviously, Manny's pissed. And she says they're done being friends. This is like the 17th time that they've broken up as friends. And she's going to make plans to move out. Boom. back at school the next day, Emma and Peter are now out in the open as a couple. And naturally, they kiss about it. Manny walks up, is very sarcastic, and wishes Peter good luck trying to make sure that Emma is eating. And she walks away. Emma acts oblivious, and when Peter asks her what's going on, and changes the topic, saying they have some flaunting to do.
What?
Who says that?
Let's go in the foyer where I can give you a BJ so that everybody knows we're together.
I'm not just a van girl anymore.
Yeah, like gonorrhea chick. So Alex is trying to make up with Paige for her clothing fight with Hazel. Paige ignores her, basically. Alex repeatedly tries to talk to her, and Paige walks away. So back to Peter and Emma. They are having lunch. Peter orders a hamburger and fries. I don't think Emma ordered anything, which to me would have been an indication of something, but whatever. Peter gets up to get ketchup. Emma grabs some of his fries and starts stuffing them in her pocket. And as Peter returns, she starts dabbing her lips, pretend like to make it seem like she has, in fact, eaten.
So fake. Like, should have been like, nummy, nummy. Like, it was just
right?
Such fucking fake, I just ate actions.
Do the thing where you turn your head to the side and put the fry towards your mouth, but it's actually going on the side outside yeah. of your mouth. Nom, nom, nom.
It's like, so Emma, delicious. I can see those fries dropping down on the other side of your face. Oh, no, this is how I eat. the fuck? Yes. Anyways, I hate this whole scene. She says something about I'm a growing girl or whatever. And later, as they're walking home, Peter puts his arm around her or something. Any case, finds the French fries in her pocket and obviously thinks it's weird. Emma tries to brush him off by saying, haven't you seen Napoleon Dynamite? And he had tater tots in his pocket.
Exactly.
FYI.
Give me some of your tots.
Yeah. Tots. Then she switches gears from Napoleon Dynamite and like starts acting like a squirrel. Like to, I don't know, like she, there's something for her to nipple on. She's like, it's, yeah, it's awful. I don't think Peter's not convinced, obviously. And thinks that it's weird, which it is.
And if Peter thinks something's weird, okay.
Also, that weird. Would ruin your hoodie. So much grease.
Ugh.
What are you doing, child?
And you don't have snake back to do all your laundry, so.
So.
You're in big trouble. Yeah, that's true. Well, he's too busy with the sink, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Hazel, we were back to Hazel and Alex. They're chatting about how Paige isn't talking to either one of them. So they try once again to get along, and they make plans to go for hot beverages. Once again, nobody says that. Back to Manny, who is finishing up a end of the year extravaganza planning meeting. Peter approaches and basically tells her that he thinks Emma does have an eating disorder, and they both agree that they will go to Spike together.
Great. Manny and Peter teaming up for Emma. Like, so many things I hate all at once.
Like, yes. Do you want to elaborate? The fact that Manny is, you know, doing this sort of stuff with a guy who, you know, took pictures of her topless and spread them everywhere, and now she's willing to overlook that to help her stupid friend Emma with her stupid eating disorder.
Yep.
She's too good of a friend for Emma.
Manny's the best.
Right? Manny for Priz. So we're back to Alex and Hazel, and they're having hot beverages together. It's all very awkward, blah, blah, blah. Paige shows up. And they tell her they're going to try and get along again. Yada, yada, yada. I literally just wrote blah, blah, blah. Shenanigans ensue. And they get in a fucking whipped cream fight.
Which, like, no one would do. That wouldn't happen.
I just wrote, what the fuck? Like, I don't get this. This is not even, like, who writes this and says, you know what we got to do? Whipped cream fight.
Fight. Kevin Smith, I bet.
In the middle of the fucking food court.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Animals.
And it's, yeah, like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's very silly.
Like that poor janitor.
And then when they explain about the fight later, it becomes worse when they start explaining what they were doing. Right? You grabbed the jar of whipped cream and you did something else. Like, what are you talking about? Were you diving over the counters into the food court? Like,
yeah.
Kiosks?
Also, so much food wasted in this episode. They waste the picnic, they waste fries, they waste hot beverages. Does anyone eat their food? Yeah, come on. It's perfectly good food. Do you know what's going to happen with inflation, everybody? Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll find out. Then you'll wish you had that whipped cream.
And while you're at it, get your fucking monkeypox shots right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, motherfucker.
Especially you, Emma, after what goes on in the ravine.
Yep. Skin to skin.
You have all kind of poxes.
Oh my god. So after the stupid whipped cream fight, we see Emma, and she's arriving home to Snake, Spike, Peter, and Manny all sitting on the couch. And this is what we call an intervention.
This is what we call the moment that Manny and Peter come into the house. And they both are like, Emma's got this problem, and we both have seen it. Snake should be like, okay, well, Manny, you can stay because you're not a piece of shit. And you live here. Peter, thanks for telling me. Get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah.
You fucking.
Yeah.
Personified date rape.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck.
Get bounce, your fruit salad bitch. Ass out of my house.
I ain't and your dad yet, but if you play your cards right, I may be.
And then Spike's like, and your mom's a slut.
Yep. They're all dunking on Spike's
taking
them.
Her earrings off, getting ready to fight.
Right?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Like, Spike's hair suddenly, like, transforms into old Spike. That's how you know she's, like, really angry.
She's like a transformer.
Yeah.
Peter, why can't your family stop fucking my family?
Yeah. Yeah. Just stop. So, yes, they all have a very Dr. Phil moment. They want to talk to her about her eating. Spike or Snake mentions teachers have been talking to him about Emma, and Manny says shit and everybody says stuff. Emma, of course, denies having any sort of eating disorder. And in pure Emma form, instead lashes out and insults each one of them. She calls Peter, I can't remember, something about getting drunk girls naked. Calls Manny the drunk girl.
Yep.
And insults both of her parents.
I'm trying to remember. I believe that Snake was not aware that Emma had passed out at school, where he's a teacher, and where the principal,
like, they wouldn't come and tell him.
Yeah, and where the principal who tended to her, who he was just banging, didn't say anything to him. So I think that there's also kind of somewhere in these episodes, it's like, I don't know if they outright reveal it, but, you know, it's very bizarre that he wouldn't have been aware sooner. Like, there, yeah, anyways.
So, yes, it doesn't solve anything. Emma insults all of them. She tries to run away, but Manny blocks the door, doesn't let her. So she blames Manny, obviously, for all of this shit and runs downstairs and starts throwing all of Manny's clothes in his suitcase. And it was such terrible acting. Like, it's like she's like hauling fucking tires or something, like the effort she's putting into throwing these clothes. So yeah, so she wants Manny out. She's fed up with all her shit, but suddenly Emma can't breathe and she falls to the ground and everybody freaks out and they call 911. Dun, dun, dun. We are left in suspense for a while because we're back at the mall where Paige, Alex, and Hazel are in the security office covered in fucking whipped cream and pastries. And they're all laughing together and everything's great. And they're all friends now because they're all so silly. Silly little girls.
And also in, like, what, 2-3 episodes from now, they won't have to worry about this anyways because they write Hazel off of the show, so.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
She gone.
Yeah, so they don't even have to follow through on this.
For this messing up the food court and jump behind the counter, they gave her the death penalty.
Yes.
Hazel, you're bad. We'll bring it back just for you. Anyways, you're going to the chair.
Death by disappearance.
She's on the boat with LD.
Yeah.
The Caribbean. So thank goodness they solved their problems. I feel a lot better about that. And we're back at the hospital. And Emma is in a bed with an oxygen thingy up her nose. And we find out that she had a panic attack. So Spike tells her, and Emma blows off any concern. She's not really worried about a panic attack. And I think then Spike tells her that it was brought on by starvation.
Yes.
Yeah, she said that.
And how does she know that? I just...
Because the doctor would have told her, I'm assuming. Unless she's the doctor. Another plot twist.
How would the doctor know that?
Like, but how... Yeah. Hey, like,
Emma? Well, I mean... I buy this one, right? They bring her into the hospital. The doctor asks, like, what's wrong? Yeah. Well, she hasn't fucking eaten. Here's her food diary. And she passed out. I could see a doc... Like, that one I buy. A doctor could be like...
That's probably what happened.
Yeah. Okay, I have all the evidence I need. This is likely what happened.
Yeah, likely. Not actually.
Well, yeah, but doctors can speculate. Like, they're allowed to... They're not like, I can't tell you any possibilities of this until I know, right? Like, they are allowed to say what the possibilities are.
Why'd you pass out? The doctor's like, I don't know. Menopause? I know. I'm not. I can't tell you anything.
What can I tell you? I'm a guy doctor. I don't know these lady problems.
Yeah. Did you get your period?
We're waiting. Yeah.
Hysteria?
We're waiting for the lady doctor to get up here. Then we'll figure it out.
I also don't. And I actually never took time to look, but I have never heard of a starvation. Oh. Causing panic attacks.
I thought you were going to say you never heard of a lady doctor.
Oh.
Like, oh.
That too.
I mean, I guess anything that puts a strain on your system can cause your body to react in certain ways. And if she was overly stressed, one of the body's ways to fight that is to go into a panic attack because it caused you to stop, right? That's what the body's just trying to do, get you to stop.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah, she's definitely whipping herself up. Like,
I mean, health
in a tizzy.
Healthline.com says, if hunger and anxiety had a relationship status, it would probably be it's complicated. Hunger can trigger anxiety. Anxiety can both erase hunger and trigger the desire to eat. And there are physical and psychological elements to both hunger and anxiety. So that is not a yes and not a no. So
anxiety.
Yes, that's what it's called.
You know, it's interesting. If you would have talked to me like university age or maybe before, like, and talked about panic attacks, I would have said, you're bullshit. Like, fuck off with your shit like that. Like, this is get out of your own head. But having taught and just seen kids get into panic attacks, like, it's no fucking around. Like, it really can mess with kids.
I had never had panic attacks before. I knew what they are, and I know people that had them, but I did start having them during the pandemic. And it's fucking terrifying because you have no idea what's going on. I wasn't doing anything stressful at the time when it happened. I was like, I was sanding a desk or something, and suddenly, like, I can't even, yeah, like, my chest, it felt really heavy, and I couldn't catch my breath, and like, my arms were tingling, and I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Like, I've had kids freeze up in exams where it's just like they cannot function. It's kind of, it's not scary because I think I know enough about the stuff to deal with it, but it would be scary if you don't know what it is.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I didn't call 911 or anything, but whatever.
You hadn't starved yourself.
Yeah. Mine wasn't a starvation panic attack. So yes, we're in the hospital. Spike is saying starvation induced panic attack. Emma wants to go home, but she's not going to. They're going to have someone come to talk to her about her eating disorder. Manny starts to cry and tells Emma that she can't die. So go eat a pie.
Nice.
And Emma, I guess it just sinks in finally, and Emma promises her that she will try to beat this. And that's it, right? We end on that.
I will try to beat this because I'm going to eat this.
Eat this pie.
I'm going to eat this pie.
Because if I don't eat it, then if I keep doing it, I will probably surely die.
Give me a butter tart. That, well, that's it. We are at the end of Our Lips Are Sealed, part deux.
The best comment on the Degrassi wiki is about Emma wasting food. So,
oh my god, I think there's a bunch of good ones on this episode.
Let me see what we've got here. We've got some people really liking Miriam McDonald's performance in this one. One person saying, anyone notice how Peter changed his hairstyle midway through the episode?
I did notice that.
Uh-huh. I didn't.
I felt for Emma's plot a lot, but the subplot also made me squeal. Palix with a smiley face. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know. This was the very first Degrassi episode I ever watched. This is a comment by Degrassi fan. What kind of fan are you? Come on.
Somebody was making fun of Peter in the comments. I guess he went to the bathroom while she was having a panic attack.
here's a good one. Emma was legit anorexic for two episodes.
So. Yep, and then she got better.
I don't remember in great detail. I actually do think that they at least don't totally drop this one. Like, I don't think they have any episodes down the road that specifically focus on eating, but I do think that it is referenced and it is a kind of something that people worry about. So, yeah, hopefully they don't forget that they did this.
Yeah, I mean, overall, obviously, both episodes are silly. We've been clear on that. But I don't feel like the messaging was balanced enough on eating disorders, like in terms of a lesson or something for all the girls watching it to feel more encouraged.
It feels to me like this happens, I think, in the Degrassi Next Generation series. I mean, particularly in like season 4 and onward, which is that they have heavy episodes, but it's not about learning, it's about drama.
Right. I agree.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's
like
what
the lens is different now. The lens is
absolutely
different to film this show through. Like, they're trying to show kids the negative side effects of topics, and they are doing it. It's just through a different lens that I don't know if it's actually realistic, but I was teaching kids this age now. Yeah. I wasn't this kid, so maybe it's closer than I think.
It's like they took the one part of the OG Degrassi that's like, you know, they touch on these taboo topics and, you know, go farther than your regular teen drama things. But they also forgot the part where they're supposed to like balance all that with like the PSAs. And, you know, they should have had Emma afterwards giving a phone number for people to call, like Joey and Caitlin would have done. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, yeah, they could have done that, you know? Like, that's a good point. Like, why? They could have included that.
Like, they just like, hey, I'm Miriam McFucks-a-lot, and I don't
I'm
actually
Miriam
have
McNeary.
I mean, like, I'm going to play the Arlo part here. Like, let's not bash the fucking actor, like, the people who are acting in this stuff.
It was
like
a nickname episode. I gave her a nickname. Uh-huh. Whatever. Yeah, now I'm all thrown off, Alan. Fuck.
Just don't Pat be Mastery. Don't be so mean. God,
sorry. Go cry about it. But yes, they could have. I felt it would have been more appropriate for them to have that little whatever afterwards, being like, if you're, you know, if anything like in this episode felt familiar to you or something, like here's a number you can call.
Mm.
Because like, I swear to God, 85% of girls at one point have battled an eating disorder. It doesn't always have to be as dramatic as this one, but most girls have experienced that, if not all. So to me, it would have been a little bit better if they added that little PSA at the end.
Yeah, it's less PSA-y and more drama. And Pat Mastriani did mention that. He said, like, there was a distinct time and moment when the writers did make a shift towards not educational, not like topics like that, just let's drama it up. And that's what this show is. And they just made that turn and they never came back from it.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. Too bad. Like,
yeah. It is unfortunate. And yeah, that's, I think that's all my comments on this this two-parter. Anybody else?
I mean, I'll comment on what we have coming up next week if you want.
Well, I was going to.
I will. No. I will not. Is what I meant to say. Okay. What have we got next week, Courtney?
Next week we have another episode coming out.
Turn around, everybody. Why is that?
Because every now and then I get a little bit terrified.
Can you please play the
only a little bit?
I see the fucking look in your eye.
Yeah. Nice.
I just introduced Jack to that movie 2 weeks ago, and it was wonderful.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So good. But
see,
yes,
see Frank the Tank Jack. That's how Mummy used to act.
Mommy used to go streaking.
Uh-huh.
So good. It's so good once it touches your lips.
I'm a do one. I'm a do
so
one.
You a do one. Such a great movie. Well, let's finish this one off then. Thanks for tuning in. As always, feel free to send us your thoughts on these episodes. I'm hoping to hear from a lot of girls. I actually really wish Arlo was on these two episodes. But yeah. You can hit us up at Narbos and Broom. I don't even know our email address, Alan.
Sausagefest at gmail.com when there are no other girls on the podcast or this episode. It's narbosandbroomheads at gmail.com. And the episode we're talking about next week, by the way, is Total Eclipse of the Heart. In case you didn't know from the one of the more popular songs ever and us poorly singing it, but
you should have known. You shouldn't have even
speak for
that.
Yourself, Slip.
Yeah, and that's who I am on the internet, Slip, by the way. And we're Narbos and Broomheads podcast on Instagram, Narbos podcast on Twitter, and that's how you can find us. So,
and we are on TikTok, but I guess we're a little,
I haven't done a TikTok in like fucking 8 weeks, so
fuck
yeah. I know they can't spy on us anymore, China.
Yeah, so, we know what you're up to.
Yeah, so there you go. What about, where do we find you, Tim?
I'm at FollyT on Twitter. Come follow me if you want. I don't think you'll be that impressed, but I appreciate always being on. I'll see you guys next week.
Should we give you a Folly Wally on Twitty Witty?
Oh, maybe you should.
Oh, no.
How about you, Teddy Wet?
The hairs on my head literally stood up like, ugh. Hey, I'm Ted.
Is that a sign of arousal, Ted?
Oh, no, it's the opposite. It's quite the opposite, trust me.
He's got a bony wony.
Yeah.
They, whatever. Sign of a wowsie, Teddy.
Uh-huh. Whatever the opposite of boop is. It's like, hey, exactly. It's the old slide whistle. Yeah, I'm Ted. I just love this episode. It was great. I just want to say that. All the haters out there.
Yeah, we're back to me. So we'll see you all next week, motherfuckers.
Peace.
See ya, baby.
Well, I just said I don't get my love. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe it would.
I would walk around the cafe, cut! Just to get the car my dreams. Everyone thinks I'm so cool. I went crazy, had to school. Yeah!